The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Lucien de Franchi, after hurrying to France to avenge his brother's death, confronts Captain Chateau Renaud in his own home, and in the presence of his wife, Emilie, arranges for a duel with swords the next morning. He also reveals the fact to Captain Renaud that Emilie had come to his apartment one night at midnight, thus proving that she was a liar, as well as being a woman who was prepared to be unfaithful to her husband. Lucien has just made a dramatic exit from the room, leaving a startled Emilie and a thoughtful Paul Renaud.
Paul, why don't you speak to me? Paul!
Get away from me. Take your arms from around my neck.
Paul.
No, you lied to me. The letter that the Conti wrote was true, all of it.
Yes, yes.
Why did you lie?
I was frightened, Paul. Frightened of what you'd see. What you say?
So you went up to this man's apartment at midnight thinking he was his twin brother.
Yes, I didn't mean any harm. Truly, I didn't, Paul.
No? So you're just like the rest of them. I might have guessed. Flick of my fingers, you threw Louis de France over without a thought. Is it any wonder that when temptation comes again, you forget me? You little thankless.
I love you, Paul. Honestly, I do. But don't look at me like that. I love you. I love you so much that if anything happened to you tomorrow... Oh, Paul, don't go. Don't leave him with this man. He seems so sure of himself, so strong.
Not like the other one, eh? He was a weakling. Well, don't you worry about that, because I know how to take care of myself. And if I don't, there's one thing I want you to understand, Emilie. Not one penny of my money goes to you. Do you understand? It's quite obvious now that you married me for my money. Very well. Anything happens to me tomorrow... Not a penny will go to you. Not one penny, you courtesan.
Ah. Marianne. Maria came running to me. She told me that you wanted to see me urgently.
Oh, I have news for you, wonderful news. This letter, it arrived just after breakfast.
From Lucien?
No, Mother, it is from my father.
Your father? He knows, is she?
Yes, I can hardly believe it. And yet here it is in black and white. Let me read. My dear Marianne, since you have left, my heart has been very heavy. You are my only daughter, and I think of you constantly, day and night. A cloud has come between us, a cloud which will darken my heart forever and perhaps drive me to an early grave. On your part, I know that you have always been fond of your father. That is, until the De Franchi came.
The De Franchi. Lucien.
During these hopeless nights of thinking, I have been able to reason many things in my mind. Gossip has come to me, of course, that you are living in the De Franchi home and that soon you are to marry Lucien De Franchi. That means that you will become a De Franchi, one of our hated enemies. And then the night before last, in a blinding flash, an inspiration came. Perhaps, Marianne, you are an emissary of peace. Perhaps through you, peace will at last come to this island, between two families who have hated each other for centuries. Because, should there be issue, the baby would be both De Franchi and Gedici. How then could a Gedici hate the baby? How could a De Franchi hate the child?
Oh, Marianne.
Oh, but there is more. With these thoughts in my mind, I write and ask you, Marianne, if it would be possible, with this marriage, to end the vendetta of centuries, to be able to say, not I hate you, but we love us. You and Lucien De Franchi can unite us. If only the other De Franchi will accept these thoughts in the spirit in which I write them. I am anxiously awaiting your reply. Your loving, though unhappy father, Dino.
Why, Marianne, he wants all Franchi.
Oh, it was a great effort to write this. He must love me very dearly. Perhaps more dearly than I thought. How do you feel? How would Lucien feel about this? Lucien, who was stabbed by my father. And you, who have suffered so much.
What is that your father says in the letter? Should there be an issue? He is right. Your children would be both Guidici and De Franchi. It would be wrong, very wrong, if their ancestors hated each other.
Oh, you mean...
I mean that if Lucien consents, your wedding day will mark the end of this hideous vendetta. My prayers will be that this will truly happen. Peace where there was strife. Happiness where there has been blood.
Come in.
Oh, you're astir early, Pierre.
Yes. I was wondering, Lucien, if you... But you're not up yet.
No, Pierre. What is the time?
6:30. I've been so worried I didn't sleep. What's more, it gives me a strange feeling coming into this room and talking with you now, Lucien.
Why?
It was only a few mornings ago that I came in here and your brother, the image of you, was in this room preparing for the same mission. A duel with Captain Chateau Renault. I'm wondering now if...
Yes.
Never mind.
Go on. Speak on, please.
I was just wondering if there would be a repetition after the duel was over.
Tell me about it.
I'd rather not.
But I want to know. After all, Louis was my brother. And I loved him.
There's little to tell except that a surgeon was there. We had your brother's body taken to the church. A priest prayed over him. The next morning, a horrible, grim morning, windy and cold, he was buried. It was as Louis wished. He didn't want you to know, nor your mother, that he died of any other cause but a fever.
And yet he might have known that I was to be warned. The vision, our family tradition. Oh, I'm glad. Glad that I'm able to be here to avenge him. Oh, well, Pierre, it's time that I rose. I have to bathe and shave. What's in this box?
At this time on the other morning I spoke to your brother, he came over to this box. He opened it as I'll open it now. Look.
The bird in the golden cage.
Yes. The gilt cage with the bird that sings. He told me to be especially careful about that. It's his wedding present for you and Marianne. I was to give it to you should anything happen to him.
Oh, poor Louis. Oh, Louis. Your bird shall sing. Yes, but it shall sing with joy, because I shall take him back to Corsica. And he shall sing for the triumph that will be ours when I avenge your death. Smile, Pierre. Why so downcast?
I'm sorry. I'm not a very good companion, am I? But somehow I feel so depressed to think that for the second time in a few days, I'm on my way to another duel with another member of a family whom I admire so much.
But this time the chances are more evenly balanced. You didn't tell me what happened, not in detail, when Louis was so brutally murdered.
It was a duel.
It was a duel. When the boy didn't even know how to pull the trigger properly. Tell me what happened when you arrived at the place. Did this Captain Chateau Renault throw out his chest and gloat at the prospect of meeting my poor sick brother?
Well, we were at Vincennes about this time, and then... seeing that we're stopping, waiting for Captain Chateau Renault's carriage. His carriage arrived, and then we entered the wood by two different roads. It was arranged, as it has been arranged on this occasion, that our coachmen meet each other again in the great avenue.
Look, Pierre. There's our friend's carriage waiting over there.
Oh, so it is. I'll signal them.
Oh, they've seen you.
That means we start up again and meet later. All right, coachman, you can go on now. Into the woods by this road. The rest of our party will follow behind us. Well, Lucia, Only a few minutes more.
I can hardly wait. My impatience is so great that I can hardly wait to test my strength against that of our common enemy.
And so the carriages drew up at the appointed spot, a clearing in the woods not far from Vincennes. From the other direction came the sound of the rattle of wheels, and soon Chateau Renaud and his seconds were also on the field. Pierre Gaudet and the young man who had acted as second for Lucien's brother Louis helped Lucien off with his coat, rolled his sleeves for him, and then Lucien was given the choice of swords. Selecting one quickly, without hesitation, he stood his ground in the center of the field, waiting for Chateau Renaud to come up. Chateau Renaud was much slower. He examined his sword carefully, tested the steel, turned it this way and that, and then finally walked slowly towards his opponent. After the usual formalities had been observed, Chateau Renaud spoke.
Before we begin, you're perfectly satisfied on this occasion?
What do you mean, on this occasion?
I understand from my second that you are not quite pleased with the treatment your brother received.
I didn't say that. I did happen to mention that my brother had never used a pistol in his life, nor a sword. It was rather like suicide, wasn't it?
Very unfortunate for your brother.
And perhaps unfortunate for you, too. Who knows? Are you ready, monsieur?
Quite ready. I think your seconds had better stand back. Would you kindly clear the field?
Of course. Come, gentlemen.
Ready?
Quite ready.
Very well. En garde!
And so began a desperate duel to the death. Each man an expert swordsman. Each man determined to kill the other. The next chapter brings this powerful story to a thrilling conclusion. Make sure you don't miss the last chapter of The Corsican Brothers.